Good morning. Welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Mizmor Kuf Mem, the 140th psalm in the book of Tehillim. This is a Mizmor which is comprised of 14 psukim and two basic sections. The first section is following the Koteret, which we have the introduction, which is Lamanatzeach Mizmor LeDavid. This is a psalm for the conductor for David. The first section runs from psukim and Beis to Tes, which is a section about a prayer to be saved from the plots of evildoers. The next section is from Yud to Yudalad, 10 to 14, in which the Mesharer, the narrator, begs HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show an end to the Rasha'im versus the end of the Tzadikim, where there will be ultimately rewards. In trying to understand the themes of this Mizmor is very much focused around the theme of good versus evil. The Mesharer, the narrator, feels persecuted by bad people, whether it be that they are hunting him and attacking him, or whether it be that they are leveling false accusations against him. It could be that they really are attacking him, or that they are plotting nefariously to have others do their dirty work. The first section is praying to Hashem to save him, and is broken really into three subsections. You'll notice that the beginning of each of them is very clear, because first of all, each section finishes in the word Selah. So the end of Pasuk Dalet is Selah, the end of Pasuk Vav is Selah, and the end of Pasuk Tes is Selah. They all start in a similar way, Chaltzeni Hashem, Shamreni Hashem, Omarti La Hashem. So each of them actually start in a similar way, and the general theme is, first the evildoers are compared to a snake and a scorpion, then the evildoers are compared to hunters and trappers, and finally a prayer for salvation from Hashem. It's interesting that the evildoers have got many names in this Mizmor. They're called an Adam Ra, an evil person, an Ish Hamasim, a person of deceit or thievery. Geim, they're arrogant, Rasha, evil. Ish Lashon, a man of the tongue. Ish Hamas Ra, a person of bad dealings. So there's many descriptions of the evildoers, and the description of the tzaddikim seems to be those who are aniyim, those who are impoverished, those who are perhaps the more vulnerable in society to those who are more nefarious. In trying to understand the events behind HaMizmor, most of the Mefarshim points out that this could be very much autobiographical to David. We've not seen so many Mizmor LeDavids around now, and this is one of them, and it relates to David HaMelech's life. So, for example, Radak says, it could refer to somebody like Doeg HaAdami, who was a person who slandered him, or the Ziphim, who were a sub-tribe within Yehuda, who actually betrayed him to Shaul. Even though David HaMelech himself comes from the Shevet of Yehuda, his own fellows, his own townsfolk essentially betrayed him to Shaul. Later on, Achitophel was one of the people who was his closest advisors, and essentially his grandfather-in-law, who betrayed him by joining the forces of Absalom. David HaMelech experienced a tremendous amount of betrayal and slander, people who knew him and took advantage of him, and therefore could be autobiographical. However, we could expand it, as the Al-Sheikh does, to all Jews in Golos, all of the nations, all the times that we've been among the other nations. The Jews have always been the perennial scapegoat, the pariah of society. They've been kicked out, expelled, inquisitions, otadufe, holocausts, which have been the experience of the nation of Israel in Golos. And therefore, this Mizmor is describing not an individual in his personal experience, but perhaps the national state of Israel in a state missing Geula. That's another way of looking at it. Let's consider the places in our davening that this Mizmor appears. It doesn't appear wholesale, but it is interesting that the last pasuk does resonate with our davening. It says, "Ach tzadikim yodu lishmecha, yeshavu yesharim esponecha." None but the righteous will acknowledge your name. The upright will dwell in your presence. So the Gemara in Brachos on Lamed Beis Amud Beis actually notes on this pasuk in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, "Hamispalel tzarich lishos shah achas achar tfilasoi." A person who davens shouldn't just jump straight out, shouldn't be halfway on the train while they are in Kedusha. A person should really take a little bit of time, benachas, just if they're able to have just a moment, they don't run out at the last minute in davening. Not always possible, but to the degree they were able to. Where? How do we know this? Because, Ach tzadikim yod lishmecho, yesharim es ponecho. Yeshivu yesharim. They will sit. The yesharim, those who are straight, will sit in front of Hashem to see your face. They're not rushing anyway. When you have a a meeting and the person walks out like very abruptly, or you have a lunch meeting and somebody wants to leave immediately, it kind of leaves you with a bad taste. You know, were they really interested in being with me in the first place? So Hashem says the same thing. Were you really interested in being with me if you're already on the way out and you spend a few minutes outside getting a coffee, which shows what your sense of priorities are? This is something which a person needs to really think carefully about. And this is the Gemara learns from our pasuk, which is why there's a minhag of some to actually say this pasuk, Kuf Mem Pasuk Yodalad, actually as they leave a shul, to give the sense that they're not rushing. We're going to focus on one pasuk in the spotlight today, and that's pasuk Yud Beis. It reads, Ish Lashon Bal Yikon Ba'aretz, Ish Chamas Ra Yitzudenu Lemad Chefois. So the way it's translated is as follows, Do not let the man of slander be established in the land, let evil hunt the man of violence until his downfall. The Chavetz Chaim in his book Shmiras HaLashon, just to clarify, the Chavetz Chaim wrote many, many svarim. The book Chavetz Chaim was actually about the halachas of Lashon Hara. The book Shmiras HaLashon was not about the halachas of Lashon Hara, but the hashkafa, the perspective of the impact of Lashon Hara. And at the very end of the Sefer, he has a number of epilogues, and at the what's called the Chasimah Sefer, so Chasimah Vov, the sixth epilogue of the Sefer, notes this pasuk as a very fascinating insight. He says the following. If we look at our life, most of the frustrations and most of the things which lead to fights, to difficult situations in life, are as a result of high expectations and intolerance of others. That person crossed my path. That person didn't say hello. That person said hello too cheerfully. That person didn't pay me back. That person asked to borrow something and never returned it. I was so nice to them, they weren't nice to me, they didn't invite me to their wedding. Whatever it is, life is made up of a series of disappointments, and to the degree we have high expectations and we're makbid on things is the degree that we spend a lot of energy, and it ultimately leads to a lot of Lashon Hara, a lot of Motzi Shemra, a lot of arguments and wasted time and energy in our lives, personally, communally, in our family and nationally. So the Chavetz Chaim says a very fascinating thing. He says, imagine if you were to do the following. Look, everybody has a budget for mitzvahs, you know, meaning a person has to buy a lulav every year, matzah, a person has to buy Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah seats, a person should buy shul memberships so they can be involved, they can be paying for the ner lamo'or. There's certain budgets that we have in the year for our spiritual activities. He says, what happens if you were to budget into your year a certain amount of loss, a small amount of loss that you would incur, and that would be your budget for being ma'avir al-midoso, not having high expectations. So as an example, you know, the neighbor keeps driving across the edge of your driveway, and those two rocks need to be replaced. You know, and so you spend all your time getting more and more and more angry. More and more. Those are my tiles. How could they? Now let's do a cheshbon. Now sometimes it could be very expensive, but a lot of times we're talking about, you know, a couple hundred dollars, you know, to do the fixing. We're not talking about something which is going to break the bank. The fact that somebody borrowed that book and never returned it. Okay, so let's say the book is worth $23. What happens if a person has a budget every year for a certain amount of times? He says, you know, 4 to 5 silver rubles in the times when he's living in Russia at the time. Let's say a person has a budget for a few hundred dollars per year. And those few hundred dollars are going to cover all the small losses, the clean cut, the unnecessary fights. And therefore, when they happen, of course, you do what you need to protect yourself, but you don't make a big deal about it. It's not the end of the world. Says the Chavetz Chaim, imagine how much you'd save in your life. And he gives an example. He says the following. Imagine you have a fellow who's the kind of Warren Buffett kind of personality, right? But on a little bit on the extreme. And he decides, you know, he's always looking, he never gives tzedakah. He's not interested in anything because he's always interested in saving. So yeah, he's trying to find schemes of how he can save, and he realizes something fascinating. So you know what? If I eat less, I'll be able to save more. So what does he do? He starts and he says, you know, if only I need to eat twice a day, the next month once a day, then he realizes that he's going to the margin, groceries cost a lot of money. He's going to save himself money. And that's what he does. He starts detracting from the amount of food and drink that he's getting, to the point that 3 months later, he's saving incredibly, but he's sick. So he goes to the doctor. The doctor says, look, the cost of the medication is going to be, you know, several hundred, you know, rubles. And the man says, no, I can't do that. He runs away, but he gets sicker. So he goes back to the doctor. And he says to the doctor, what can I do? The doctor says, in order to prepare the drug, I need to know what happened. And the man very sheepishly says, I'm sorry, you know, the reason I'm here is because I was trying to starve myself to save money. And the man said, look, how much money did you save a month? You saved a little bit here, a little bit there. You know what, maybe $100 here, $100 there. Now you're going to have to pay for a drug which does not have a generic band, which is going to be thousands of dollars. It's going to take all your deductible and more. And you're now going to be paying for this. Why? Because you're trying to save a few cents. It's not worth it. What a silly cheshbon. What a silly calculation. Therefore, the same thing over here. A person spends so much time being makbir on that $23 book, on the fact that somebody said this or didn't send the invitation this way or didn't pay back this loan, and all these things. And there are important ones, but there are so many of them which are not important. What happens if we build in the budget, says the Chafetz Chaim, for all those small things? Where does he learn this from? The Chafetz Chaim says it's from our very pasuk. He says, Ish bal, ish lashon bal yukon ba'aretz. Peirush, he says, Lo yiyeh basis, v'chel yisyatzeva mamadoi tamid, rak yeh nidchof midechi al dechi. He says, a person who's worried about the small things in life, it's not that we're asking Hashem to bring upon wrath upon them. He says, no, their life is a life of distress. They're running from anger to anger to anger because everything is frustrating. Everyone is frustrating. That's the punishment. It's not an external punishment. It's a consequence from living a life of high expectations and highly strung nature and noticing that everybody's doing everything wrong all the time. Take a chill, says the Chofetz Chaim. Budget a little bit of extra space in terms of hakpados, in terms of things that we want from other people, and we'll actually find peace naturally, consequentially, from that space that we've given ourselves. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.